Today we're going to talk about treasure in earthen vessels. The text is from 2 Corinthians 5 to 11. It reads like this: For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as bondservants for Jesus Christ's sake. For God, who said, Light shall be shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts with the give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not of ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly be delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. When I was in seminary, I led a group of students and their wives in a musical presentation based on part of this particular verses. I don't remember the name of the musical today. I think it was called The New Covenant. But the talent available in seminary level made it a joy-filled delight to present the message of very different places that we went. God intends every one of his children to live in joy-filled delight in service to him. This simple statement is viewed by many as a contradiction in terms. How could service, especially bond service, described in our text, bring joy-filled delight? Well, that all depends on whether we see ourselves the way God sees us. Paul begins this text by calling attention to his humble approach to ministry. We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as bondservants for Jesus' sake. So right off the bat, Paul acknowledges Christ Jesus as Lord and the chief focus of his preaching. Additionally, his ministry was one of assuming the role of a bondservant to the Corinthians for Jesus' sake. Here again, Jesus is the reason he does this. The real Lord Christ Jesus, Colossians 3:24 reminds us that regardless how we are called to serve others, it is really the Lord Christ whom you serve. So the first idea we like to highlight is that being a servant of Christ means a bond servant to others, keeping in mind it's the Lord Christ whom you serve. Often we don't want to serve other people because of who they are, but we should think that that's Christ we're serving, and that'll change our mind instantly because we know we're serving him instead of the people in front of us. Now Paul goes on to describe the treasure we're talking about. For God, who said, Light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Paul hearkens back to the very beginning by referencing what God said to get creation rolling. The very first words God uttered at the beginning of creation was, Let there be light. Nothing says you're God like making light out of darkness. It is unheard of here on earth. No one can turn light into darkness. You can turn darkness into light with a flashlight or something, but you can't go the other way. It would be impossible for human beings to accomplish such a feat. So it is this God who called light out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. This is a treasure of magnitude you will never find on earth. The whole world could be given in exchange for it, And that's the treasure. When God shows his light to us so that we can shine what his light is, that is a beautiful treasure. Now in verse 7, Paul makes an astonishing key statement. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Who in their right mind would keep an unquality treasure in a clay pot? Maybe because that's the last place you'd expect to find such a treasure. If a thief came in, he wouldn't look at that. But a clay pot is wholly unsuited to play host to a treasure like this. And that is Paul's point. We are clay pots who are privileged beyond belief to be the repository of this ultimate treasure. God does it this way, so the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. God's whole will is to make sure he gives the credit, even if we do it. I preach as a pastor, but I give God the credit that he called me, that he gave me the ability to do it, to do the in front of people. Somebody told me I was going to be a pastor one day. I says, I will not be a pastor. They said, why? Because I can't talk in front of people. Well, what do you know? God gave me that ability too. Who pays attention to the clay pot when the treasure it holds is so surpassingly great? The clay pot doesn't count for anything. Everything has to do with the treasure that it holds. God wants us to understand above all else that our worth depends solely on the greatness of his power and not ourselves. Now that's all fine and good in theory, but the proof is in the pudding of life. So verses 8 and 9 list a series of experiences Christians are especially prone to suffer. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Afflicted means to be pressed in on every side. It's like being in a room where all four walls start coming to you and squeezing you. That's what affliction means. Crushed means to be in great trouble with no escape or way out. However, regardless of the amount of affliction God's child may experience, he or she will always escape or have a way out because God creates those things. Perplexed but not despairing. Now, perplexed means to be at a loss with serious anxiety. Despairing means to fall apart and lose one's emotional or mental normal thing. We may not know the how or why of many situations, in fact, most, I would say, but we will not lose our soul's well-being as long as our faith is in God. Persecuted but not forsaken, persecution means to be subject to harassment, pursuit, and attack. You can think of something that's coming at you, and they're pursuing you, they're attacking you, they're making sure they will not be away from you, they'll catch you. Forsaken means to desert or forsake a person, to leave that individual uncared for or caught by the person who pursued you. God's promise is no amount of persecution will cause him to forsake us. Matthew 28:20 said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And then we have struck down, but not destroyed. Struck down means to think of a boxer who falls to the mat after being hit with a particularly hard blow. Destroyed means not getting up after hitting the mat. In fact, you could say it also means you will never fight again. This word refers to destruction that you cannot repair. This old world, our own sinful self, and Satan can deal us some pretty significant blows in life. We don't often realize we have been hit until the affect until it wreaks on us. But God's promise that we will never be imperishably destroyed makes it good for our life, because we can trust his promise. Now, I should say, by the way, all those verbs are present participles in the Greek. That means we are forever being afflicted, but never crushed. We never stop being perplexed, but we won't be despairing. We'll always be persecuted, but not forsaken. There will never be a time we are not struck down, but we won't be destroyed. Now, I know you and I think our life isn't like that all the time, but every one of us can identify situations in our life where we can't explain it, we just don't like it, and sometimes we wish it would never have happened. But when those things happen, what we know is God says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. These are all things we normally try to avoid. It is certainly easier to do that today than it was in Paul's day. Paul himself daily faced all of these oppositions in spades. And there are absolutely places around this world where similar things are happening all too frequent. The Christian population of some Middle Eastern countries has dwindled to mere fractions of what it was just 20 years ago. Many of them are taking the way out while the going is available. They acutely sense that to stay would mean death. In the United States, we experience almost nothing of this level of affliction, perplexity, and persecution. But it's no wonder that more people want to come to our country than any other in the world. And then Paul says, we're always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. Now all four are combined in one idea. Instead of the dying of Jesus, we should say the putting to death of Jesus. Always carrying about in the body the putting to death of Jesus. That enables us to put to death our old sinful self. Once this is done, then the life of Jesus can also be manifested or revealed in our body. This is such an essential part of the Christian life that God now states it again in different words. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. This restatement serves a twofold purpose. It makes Paul's meaning clearer, and it emphasizes the thought that being very weighty in itself. In 1 Corinthians 15:31, Paul declares that he died daily. In Romans 8:36, he wrote, just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. In 1 Corinthians 4:9, he wrote, God has exhibited us as apostles last of all, as men condemned to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. And then there's Romans 6:3-4. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ, Jesus, have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. You might call this a recurring theme and not a welcome one at that. But it is vitally important that we realize here there is no fixing our old sinful self or refurbishing it. There is only one way to deal with our old sinful self: put it to death. Death to self is the hardest idea to consider. Satan, the world around us, and our own self itself all mitigate against death to self. But if our sinful self is allowed to survive in the least way, the life of Jesus will not be manifested in our body. And that's why the text emphasizes always carrying and constantly being delivered. When we are always carrying about the body, the putting to death of Jesus, and constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, then the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body, and we will be freed to live as God intended. Now, let me just run through some ideas about how God intends us to live. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. That covers a lot of life, doesn't it? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In Galatians 5, we have the fruit of the Spirit. As I may have taught you before, fruit here is a singular noun, which means there's one fruit, it has nine parts. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All such things, against such things, there is no law. And then there's 17 one another commands. Romans 12, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Romans 13, love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. 2 Corinthians 13, greet one another. Galatians 5, serve one another. Ephesians 2, show tolerance for one another. Ephesians 4, 32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Ephesians 5, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Colossians 3, bear with one another and forgive each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. 1 Thessalonians 4, comfort one another. 1 Thessalonians 5, encourage one another and build one another up. James 5, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. And 1 Peter 4, be hospitable to one another without complaint. Now, all of these are possible by the life of Jesus being manifested in our body. You won't have any trouble with any of that if the life of Jesus is living in you. This is the greatest treasure in the world, in the earthen vessel of our body. That makes it the greatest privilege in the world to have the life of Jesus taking up residence in your body and my body. This is how the world will know that God is real. This is how the world will know that God is real, that he sent his Son as Savior and Lord of this world. When we live the way God intends us to live, everyone will recognize that it's not you doing it, it's not I doing it. God is so unlike any person on earth. When he's living through a human being, it is obvious that the person is acting by the love and power of God himself. It is as Paul wrote, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. That should be our confession every morning as we wake up. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. So that's the treasure of Christ himself dwelling in the earthen vessel of our body. That's the biggest deal in history. It is our life here on earth with heaven as the unbelievable sequence. Praise the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for this treasure, because there's nothing you can discover on earth that's like it, and because God has given it to every one of us because we believe in his Son. In Jesus' name and for his sake, Amen.